You probably already know what the two words are, but I would like for us to think about that today. The scripture that we just read out of Luke 17 is a very familiar event in the life and ministry of Jesus. The scripture says that he was walking from north to south, from Galilee. As you probably know, the Holy Land is comprised of three sections. The northern one, Galilee, the middle one, Samaria, and the southern one, Judea, where Jerusalem is located. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This would be his last trip to Jerusalem, because soon he would be crucified as he died for you and me, that our sins might be forgiven. So as he made his way with his disciples down through the middle of the Holy Land on probably one of the ancient routes that people used, he came to the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as they came to that area, they were met by 10 people who were struggling with a very serious illness. What was the illness? Leprosy. We don't see that very often anymore. I know many of you are in medical science and doctors and you're researchers, and you just don't deal with leprosy much anymore. But in the first century, it was a disease that was horrible. It caused bodies to be disfigured. Fingers and toes would sometimes come off. There was not a cure, so the people who had leprosy were forced out of their villages. They couldn't stay with their families. They couldn't stay in town, in the community. They lived out away from people and from life itself. So Jesus and his disciples encountered 10 people with leprosy. Imagine the kind of need that was represented there by those 10 people. Jesus healed them. He didn't touch them. He even didn't speak words of healing to them. He just simply said to them, they had said to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us, have mercy." They had asked for his help. Evidently, they knew him because he had passed that way before. And he had a reputation of being able to heal. And they asked for his help. And can you imagine, if he were able to do that, what that would mean to them? And the scripture says that after they asked for that help, Jesus said to them, verse 14, "Go and let the priest see you." You see, before people were able to re-enter the community and go back into the synagogue or the temple, the priest had to check them to make sure that they were free of any disease, the leprosy. And so it's prescribed in Leviticus what Jesus was asking them to do. And so they did. They responded, and it says that on the way, as they were going, while they were going, they were made clean, verse 14. So Jesus miraculously cured them of their leprosy as they were going to meet with the priests. It was a miracle in motion. And so it's interesting how Jesus heals people in the New Testament. If you do a study of his healing miracles, you'll find a great variety on how he did it. This was one of those kinds of healing miracles Jesus performed. Now, as the 10 people went toward the priest and they began to feel their bodies restoring to wholeness and health, how many people kept going toward the priest and how many came back to Jesus? One came back to Jesus. And that person was a Samaritan. Did the Samaritans and the Jewish people get along real well together? Were they friends?
No.
It went way back into their history. There was a lot of conflict between Jews and Samaritans. In fact, some of your devout Jews would not even travel through Samaria. They would go across the Jordan River and get to Galilee or Judea and not have to touch Samaria. That's how deep the hatred was, the prejudice against Samaritans. And yet here we see that this man, verse 16, came back. And he humbled himself before Jesus. Notice three things that the healed leper, the Samaritan leper, did as an expression of his thanks. It starts there in verse 15. He first turned back. That's a very important part of the verse. One out of ten turned back because he knew that Jesus had given him a gift that no one else could give, and it had changed his life. He turned back. And then notice what else he did. He gave praise to God in a loud voice. Sometimes I think we are too quiet with our praise, don't you? I mean, I love to hear you sing, and I love to hear you read scripture. And that's giving praise to God with your voice. And I hope that you'll do that throughout this Thanksgiving season. I hope that God will hear you expressing your thanks to him. So he turned back, he gave praise, he fell down on his face. He was so humble before the one who had changed his life. He knew that what he had received was not from him, but was from God. And he humbled himself. And I think we all need to learn to do that too. Our world needs more humility. So he turned back, gave praise to God in a loud voice, fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus glory or credit for what had been done. And in this Thanksgiving season, I hope that we'll do all four of those things. I hope we'll be obedient to this scripture. I hope that we will turn back. I hope that we will take time to just stop and turn to God and express our praise to him with a loud voice and then humble ourselves before him and give him glory for all the blessings that he's given to you and me. I hope this week we will do that more than once. So Jesus then asked three questions, and I want us to see those three questions. Do you see that? It's there in verse 17 and 18. In verse 17, Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 men who were made clean? Where are the nine? Have not any of them come back to give glory to God, but only this one from a strange land? What a question Jesus asks. Where are the nine? Does this scripture say to you and to me that maybe in this world only 10% of us are truly grateful to God? Are there 90% of folks around us who are just going their way, accepting the gifts as if that's something they deserve, going on to other things? A lot of people are doing that. Where are we here today? In whose sandals do we walk? The Samaritans? Or with the nine who did not turn back to give thanks? Where are the nine? So that brings us to my sermon title. Probably you have figured it out. What are the two amazing words that I want us to focus on? What are they? Thank you. No, I mean, it really is. Thank you. Thank you. Two words. You know, when our children are born, all of us are born selfish. I mean, we want to be fed, right? We want our diaper changed. We want things the way we want things. And it's hard to grow out of that, isn't it? Some people never have. Selfishness. So we have to teach our children to say thank you. When you are helping your children to grow up, one of the things you want them to say to you when you do something for them is thank you. And God is our Heavenly Father. We are His children, and He's wanting us to say thank you to Him because of what He's done for us. And we don't learn that very quickly, and that lesson has to be repeated. Maybe today is a repetition of that good lesson for you and me as we focus on these two words, thank you. I got some help with Mandarin this morning. Earlier in the week, I looked up Google Translate on my phone. And I wanted to know, what is the Chinese word for thank you? And here's what I found. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I've been trying to learn how to say it, and Freddie and I have been working on that this morning, but I think it is like S-H-E-S-H-E-A-H, something like that. Am I close?
Yeah.
Shisha? Shisha? Let's say it together. Shisha. It's interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
The character is the same word. It's almost like in Mandarin. You can't say thank you without saying it twice. Am I right? I don't know much Mandarin. Help me here. It's almost as if the creators of the Mandarin language felt that if you're going to say thank you, you need to say it twice. So let's say it twice. Shisha. Whether it's English or Mandarin, and probably for us it's going to be English this week. Whether it's English or Mandarin, say it at least twice. Every time you say thank you to God, say it twice. Let God know how grateful you are. There's an ancient legend about two angels who flew to earth to gather people's prayers, and they put the prayers in baskets. And before long, the basket carried by one of the angels grew heavy and very difficult to carry. The other angel's basket was just almost empty, and so they paused for a moment to try to determine what kind of prayers were in each basket. And the heaviest basket were prayers of people who were asking God for something. The lightest basket were the prayers of thanksgiving that people prayed to God. How grateful are we really for what God has done for us? An official of the post office in Washington, D.C., who was in charge of letters to Santa Claus, reported that one year he received hundreds of thousands of letters to Santa, asking Santa to bring many, many different things. But after Christmas, only one letter came to the box thanking Santa Claus for bringing the toys asked for. Maybe that is a description of the level of gratitude in this nation or this world. How grateful are we? God has done so much for us, and I hope that in this Thanksgiving season that we will truly be grateful. For just a few minutes, I would like for us to kind of explore these verses and this very important issue of gratitude as we focus on some important truths out of the Scripture, some key words. The first thing I want us to note here in this passage of Scripture is that gratitude is an acknowledgement of God's grace. Grace. So what is grace? Grace is, someone has said, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is undeserved love. It's a gift of God that we receive as a gift. It's gift love. And what we see here in this scripture passage is a lot of gift love. These people struggling with leprosy had no future, no hope. And yet, in that moment that Jesus met them and they asked him for help, he immediately began the process of healing them of this dread disease. Very important for us to see the grace being offered here. This would not happen again. This would be their last chance to meet and be with Jesus, for him to help them, because he would soon go to the cross for all of us. It's a healing miracle, so full of grace. And these people struggling with leprosy needed it so badly, because they were not just on the boundary between Samaria and Galilee. They were on the boundary in many different ways. The boundary between sickness and health. The boundary between hopelessness and hope. The boundary between separation and inclusion, and the boundary between gratitude and ingratitude. To lepers living on the boundary, God gave his grace. And that's what he's done for you and me. We are they. We are they. We don't have that disease, but we have needs, and we all have experienced God's grace, and we need to thank him for what he's done for us. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of God's grace. Gratitude, secondly, is a vital component of genuine faith. So the second key word is faith. Gratitude is a vital part of our faith. If you are faithful, you are grateful. If you're grateful, you're faithful. So we need to put those two concepts together, our faith and our gratitude. The Samaritan came back and spoke with a loud voice and then humbled himself and just gave thanks to God for the change that had come to him. With grateful hearts, he expressed his faith in God. So this week, when we gather with family and friends and we share some food and some fellowship, and I hope we'll also be sharing some faith together, our faith in God, our recognition that our blessings come from him and that it's grace, and therefore our faith needs to be strong in response to the grace that he has given to us. You know, if you really are grateful, it's going to show in your life, and it's going to show in your faith, it's going to show in your relationships. A man who played French horn in the Salvation Army band used to say, "When I think of what the Lord has done for me, I could just blow this old horn out straight. I could just blow this old horn out straight." So if you see somebody walking around with a straight French horn, you know that's a grateful person. Our gratitude needs to show. It needs to show up in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our spouse, in our relationship with our family, in our relationship with people that we don't know, in our relationship with people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we will live with gratitude and deep faith, people's lives will be changed. And it's important for us to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You might want to write that down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Here's what it says. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Notice that it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but it says give thanks in all circumstances. So even when things are going really wrong in your life, when you're really struggling, whether it's financially or physically or emotionally, whatever you might be dealing with, still be grateful. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So we have seen that gratitude is a response to God's grace. Gratitude is an expression of our faith in God who gives us that gift. And thirdly, gratitude is demonstrated through our service to others in Jesus' name. So the key word is service. That helps us see that gratitude is not just something we feel, though that's where it starts. And gratitude is not just something we say, though that's very, very important. Gratitude is also something we do. We need to show our gratitude by loving other people, by treating our spouse well, or loving our family and showing that love to them. Or maybe as a congregation, reaching out in service to the community, other folks at ETSU or in the area where you live. So I think this week, one of the big questions we need to answer, how can we show our gratitude to God as we serve others in his name? Show it. The Samaritan, though he was despised by the other nine, came back and served Jesus. Do you know what it must have meant to Jesus for that Samaritan to come back and say thanks? What a service that was to our Lord. He was going to Jerusalem. He was facing the cross. And yet someone came back and said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Shisha, shisha, shisha. How are you going to serve and make a difference in someone else's life? John Canuso, a little girl, he called her Babe. At 9 years of age, she became stricken with leukemia. He knelt by her bed. He prayed for her fervently. There were chemotherapy and radiation treatments, and yet she recovered. And because of those blessings that God gave to them, John Canuso, because of his daughter's health, decided that he would, in 1974, use his own money to renovate and furnish a rundown Philadelphia house that became the first Ronald McDonald House, a place where families could stay while their family members were being treated in the hospital. And in this case, this first Ronald McDonald House was right next to the Children's Hospital there in Philadelphia, where his daughter had received such great care. And he didn't stop there. He just felt like he needed to do something to show his gratitude. So he started on his own foundation, and he raffled off houses and hosted art auctions and dinners. And in 17 years, with the help of his family and fellow builders, he raised a total of $700,000 for leukemia research. John continues to receive letters thanking him for all that he's done, from parents of ill children, from relatives of the children, from the doctors and staff of Children's Hospital. But John Canuso just could not express his gratitude only by feeling it and saying it. He just had to do something. What are you going to do to show your gratitude? I read a story about Charles Carroll. Some of you may have remember his show that was on TV several years ago, On the Road with Charles Carroll. And he would do human interest stories. And one of the stories concerned a Russian doctor in Moscow. And so Carroll was there and met this Russian doctor. He had been in the military, so he had military medals on his coat. But as they began to talk, the Russian doctor said, I was a prisoner of war in World War II, and the Germans treated Russian prisoners horribly. They gave us almost no food, very little to drink, and many of my comrades died while prisoners of war. But, he said, there were also some American prisoners of war in that German camp. And he said, the Americans were treated a little better. They got a little bit more food, a little bit more to drink. And the Americans at night smuggled some of their food and drink to us and saved our lives. And the Russian doctor said to Charles Carroll, I want to thank them. He said, would you go back home and would you try to find those people who helped us? And if any of them are still alive, I want to come to America and say thanks. Charles Carroll went back, found that some had already passed away, but there were still a few of those American soldiers living. And he arranged for the reunion to be at Phoenix, Arizona. And the CBS television network paid for this Russian doctor to fly from Moscow to Phoenix, Arizona. And Charles Carroll was there with the group as this emotional reunion happened between this Russian doctor and these American soldiers. And they embraced. Tears were in everybody's eyes. And the Russian doctor, in his broken English, said to each of them, thank you. You saved my life. Power of gratitude. When someone does something for us, we need to be moved by that to do something about that. And so it's important for us that we turn to God and realize the blessings that He has given to us. In just a few moments, we're going to sing another hymn, and that hymn is Count Your Blessings. It's found on page 445 in your hymnal. Before we sing that hymn, I'd like to tell you one more story. A missionary told of leading a worship service at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. This was just a few years ago, but leprosy still exists in some parts of the world, and on Tobago, the island, there is a colony of people struggling with leprosy. And the missionary tells of meeting with them for worship. And as he looked out over those who had gathered for worship, he saw people very disfigured, suffering awful results of the leprosy and what it was doing to their body. And so he opened up the worship service with song requests. And the first song requested by one of the people struggling with leprosy was the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. And the missionary paused for a moment and almost could not speak. But then they began to sing. And he said, I will never forget standing in that service with these who were struggling with so many challenges to their lives, yet still aware of God's grace, full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and eager to serve Him by worshiping together and giving Him thanks for His blessings. So I want us to pray, and then I want us to sing. Count your blessings. If those folks on Tobago can sing that hymn, certainly we can. And not just sing it, but sing it as a joyful expression of your gratitude to God. Realize how much God loves you and how He has shown that love to you through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. And as a result of His gift, trust Him. Believe in Him. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for you and me that our sins might be forgiven and that we might be with Him forevermore. We don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven. We don't have to be alone. We can be with Him. Oh, aren't you moved to do something about that? So, as part of your service to God, after we pray, I'd like for us to stand together, and I'd like for us to sing this beautiful hymn. Before we do, I would like for you, in your own way, to express your thanks to God. Just really letting Him know how much you love Him and how grateful you are for what He's done for you. Let's pray. Shisha, oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are so grateful, Father, for the way you love us, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, for his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Thank you, Father, that we serve a risen Savior who offers us abundant life now and eternal life. Oh God, help us to be like that Samaritan who turned back, who came to Jesus with loud expressions of praise, who humbled himself before the Lord and thanked him. Oh God, may that be what we do right now as we sing this hymn together. And throughout this coming week, may we express our gratitude to you, to one another, and to a world in need, because of what you've done for us. Thank you, Father. Shisha. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.